As AI continues to revolutionize our world, there's a critical conversation we can't ignore: AI safety and security. And that's where HackerOne's AI red teaming comes into play, rigorously testing AI models to prevent them from being misled or exploited. HackerOne employs over 2 million ethical hackers, and 750 of them specialize in prompt hacking and other AI security and testing. So HackerOne isn't just theorizing, they're actively safeguarding AI's future. Just recently, a team unearthed over 100 vulnerabilities in just 2 weeks. So whether you're at the helm of a startup or steering product innovation at a large company, it's time to prioritize AI security. Visit HackerOne.com/AI for more. Again, HackerOne.com/AI.
This episode is sponsored by porkbun.com. Porkbun is a refreshingly different domain name registrar that's different from the other ones like GoDaddy or Namecheap. They've got low prices on hundreds of different domain extensions. They've got everything from .com domains to really cool ones like .pro, .dev, .xyz. Every domain name at Porkbun comes with tons of freebies too, like SSL certificate, whois privacy, DNS, URL forwarding, and hosting trials. Because why pay for things that should be free, right? All these incredible features and tools are backed by incredible support, 365 days a year, and more 5-star reviews on Trustpilot from real customers than anyone else. Look, you can get $1 off your next domain name from Porkbun and see why they're the best domain name registrar around by using our code. Just go to porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. That's porkbun, porkbun.com/rocketshipfm24. You'll save $1 on your next domain. This episode is brought to you by Gigantic. At Gigantic, you can level up your product skills through live, small group, cohort-based trainings. We're incredibly excited to welcome you to our next cohort of our product strategy training, kicking off in January of 2024. This course will take you through the frameworks that product leaders use at companies like eBay, DoorDash, Groupon, Rent the Runway, in order to scale their teams. It's taught by Ben Foster, a friend of this podcast, who is the former chief product officer at Whoop. So come join us. Go to gigantic.is. That's gigantic.is. And save your seat for our January cohort. Your potential is gigantic, and we're here to help you reach it. Go to gigantic.is to reserve your seat today.
Welcome to the Rocket Ship Podcast. I'm Michael Sacca.
I'm Matt Goldman.
And I'm Joelle Steiniger. Today we talked with Ono Faber, the founder of TapTalk. What'd you guys think of this one?
I really liked his kind of outlook on building a company versus also building a product. He talked about how Facebook had stolen some of their user interface elements. And, you know, his response was, well, you know, they can copy the interface, but they can't copy our company value. And I felt that was incredibly refreshing. What about you guys?
Yeah, and he also had an interesting story about how they got to that interface and how they developed those values over a couple iterations, which was really interesting to learn about. So let's get into it.
We'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors. Hover makes purchasing and managing your domain simple and easy. This week, I talked to George Diab of Working On about why he uses Hover.
Oh, man. I've been using it for a long time, probably 2012, I think. I love it. The prices are great. The interface is awesome. And I still have a few domains out in some other places, and I'm just waiting to find some time, and I move them all to Hover. I love it. Yeah.
Go to hover.com and use the code SatisfiedCustomers to get 10% off your domain purchase today.
CodeShip is a hosted continuous delivery service focusing on speed, security, and customizability. You can set up continuous integration in a matter of seconds and automatically deploy when your tests have passed. CodeShip supports both your GitHub and Bitbucket projects, and you can get started with CodeShip's free plan today. Should you decide to go with a premium plan, you can save 20% off of any plan for the next 3 months by using code ROCKETSHIP. Go to CodeShip.com/ROCKETSHIP and check it out.
So, Ono, tell us kind of, first off, what is TapTalk?
TapTalk is a way for close friends and family members to keep in touch and share little moments where you think of people. It is a very like fast way, like you can instantly push a photo, a personal photo, to a good friend. So it's kind of what, you know, people are sharing photos and videos all the time through email, text message or whatever. But we make the experience on the sending side and the consuming side much much lower barrier one. So you can do it whenever you want. We get the technology out of the way of people so they can just focus on their thought or their sharing their moments and then put the phone back in their pocket.
Very cool. So 3 years ago, you were in the Netherlands and now you're sitting in San Francisco. Tell us a bit about about that story, how that came to be.
Yeah, what happened?
Yeah.
we actually, like part of the period, we have spent time in Berlin.
Okay, wow.
So we hopped a few places. By the time I started, I was living in the Netherlands and I was doing a bunch of other companies. I always, when I'm like annoyed by something or, you know, have an idea, I have to act on it. So I was doing a lot of things in parallel. And, at some point, I will actually tell you the very origin of this.
Okay.
Which is, I was having an appointment with a friend of mine and I was standing in front of his door and he didn't have a doorbell. And I found myself like sending a text or having a call and, you know, it felt so awkward, like having the conversation, hey, I'm here. Yeah. Okay, cool. Shall I come downstairs? Yeah. All right. Okay. All right. See you in a bit. All right. See you. Bye. Bye. and that like made me think like, it would be actually, all I would have to do is send him a ping. Right. So that's kind of the origin of the idea that, the idea that there could be another way to communicate for us. Texting, I kind of hate typing on the phone. It's like a typewriter crammed into, this screen. Like I don't enjoy that experience and also the lack of emotion, especially when you kind of use it to keep in touch. For businessy things, it's great. But, sometimes I just want to say hi when I think of someone or just like don't have all the conversation overhead, the effort of typing and the possibility of misunderstanding. So this was like things we discovered along the way when we were building our first product. It was called Ding Dong, by the way.
Okay. That sounds like Yo a bit.
Yeah, it was actually very much like Yo, except that we quickly added more contextual information, like where you were. So you could kind of say, I'm here with the press of a button, and it was personal. At some point we got some funding and we moved to Berlin with the company because we felt there is like a nice startup scene. I have actually traveled to San Francisco for the first time also when we were just starting, and it was very inspiring for me. I've started a bunch of companies, but I kind of had the feeling I had to find everything out by myself. And here there is so much accumulated knowledge and experience, processes, infrastructure. I learned a whole lot from this area being here. At some point, we found, and this is actually was a really key turning point. We have iterated over Ding Dong a couple of times, and we found the best Ding Dong is not the latest Ding Dong, right? Okay. We felt that like an earlier version of it was better than the last one. And that made us rethink what we were doing in the product from scratch, right? And that's when TapTalk was born.
About that was it the picture that you introduced? Was it what was the kind of missing component that made it click for you guys?
What was wrong with Ding Dong?
Yeah, what was kind of the aha moment there that made you say, okay, now this is what is not out there now that we need to build?
Right. There was one thing people were using Ding Dong for, and they were not really able to do that anywhere else. It's just like this really like contextual elementary thing you could send to someone to let them know, you know, where you are, you're thinking of them, and kind of keep in touch that way. It was a very lightweight way of communicating, and people were also using it, you know, for more as a utility, like when they were on their way and stuff like that. So it was a way to communicate, but it wasn't, we felt it wasn't versatile enough. So we wanted to kind of rethink our whole product. So with TapTalk, you know, you can actually do anything you want. You know, you can send each other little photos for what you're looking at, what you're seeing, or, you know, selfie, which you can express some emotion, or you can, hold someone's square down to kind of, you know, push a video to them, video message. And it's instant, so it is just a really, like, spontaneous, authentic thing. Like, you know, our users tell us that, you know, when they use TapTalk, their communication experience is different from anything they are using now, because of this, like, instant thing. It's not like the experience is not, I'm recording a video and selecting recipients and sending it and transmitting it. Like, the experience, I'm talking to someone. And that is that is what makes this experience so different from anything else.
This episode is brought to you by Yahoo Finance. Wouldn't it be great if you could see all of your investment and retirement accounts in one place? With Yahoo Finance, you can consolidate your views with multiple accounts into one hub and access the expert analysis you need to tend to your entire portfolio with confidence. Honestly, this has been a lifesaver for me. I've used Yahoo Finance to consolidate all of my various 401k and investment accounts so I can see everything all in one place. And it makes it incredibly easy to manage. So if you're struggling with that, check out Yahoo Finance. For over 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart a great investor, and that's how Yahoo Finance ensures that you have the insights to look at your wealth in its entirety. So go to yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. When Rainn Wilson realized he had a special gift for talking people to sleep, he had two choices: construct a massive speaker that would blast his voice to every person in the country, or invent a talking pillow. AT&T Business eventually talked him into the pillow thing. And backed by a reliable network, the only network with built-in security controls, Sleep with Rainn was a hit. Take your ideas to the moon and beyond at business.att.com. That's business.att.com.
Was that your goal going into TapTalk, to change the way that people communicate?
Yeah, that was actually the doorbell moment I talked to you about. I mean, at that moment, you don't have this clarity yet on what you're doing. Yeah, at that moment, it's just a hunch, like, hey, something is broken here. Wait, I'm getting a call.
Okay.
Even I'm on airplane mode. Is that like, I think that is the great integration of macOS X and. back then, like, when. In the first hunch, you don't really have the clarity on what you're doing yet. you have an inspiration somewhere to kind of get you going, but it is not that you have it all like laid out. Like that is what you discover. So we created a very simple product and we were discovering things like, what are people using this for? Why do we like it? And we felt we had a shot in providing another way to communicate, like next to calling and texting, which were like the default things, right? Everybody has them, everybody uses them. There are many different companies that do more or less the same thing. And we felt there is something else here. There is communication happening that is not happening on the other platforms, which is a much more spontaneous thing. And that's kind of got us kind of going, like keeping on discovering things and refining, you know, why you are doing it and why you're building this company. And to me, what I see in our users is that it gets them closer together and they feel more connected, like a grandfather using it with his granddaughter every day. And now they can see each other every day. And it's very like authentic. We get all the technology out of their way. And they normally have more trouble like scheduling a call, and then the call quality is bad and grandpa gets frustrated or doesn't know how it works. So we kind of create these bridges for people when they're not together to still feel as connected as possible, which is, for me, is really inspiring.
So you said before that you guys are focused and related to what you were just talking about was taking the technology out. I mean, so often when we build new products, we build for early adopters, for, you know, our own people that we know will be able to pick this up quickly and will be interested. How do you go about building a product for like my grandfather or, you know, people that wouldn't typically download an app to send photos back and forth?
Yeah, that is actually a very good point. I mean, we have moved in different like locations, right? We started in Delft in the Netherlands. It's a small like university town. Went to Berlin, and now we are in San Francisco, like the center of all the early adopters, right?
Right.
And this is also, you have to be so aware that, you know, like yes, there are users in San Francisco, but like we are trying to like stay connected to like all the people outside of this as well. And it's amazing, actually. We are going to look elderly people up, like nursing homes, and see how we can like give them the Tap Talk experience. Then it's amazing. Like they are like excited for what we can bring. And here, like in San Francisco, most people look at this as, oh, you know, this is a cool new UI, you know.
what can I do right here? That's
what can I copy or
I mean, we'll get to that.
I mean, it is important to stay like grounded and think about real people and real stories. And the stories are there. It's just really important for the team and to stay connected to that.
So do you actually do user testing in a nursing home or with an older generation that isn't as kind of tapped into what's happening today? Do you do that purposefully? And how does that look? What's the process like to make sure that the interface works for them? Because there's so many other things to take into consideration when you're dealing with a market segment that's not used to swiping or tapping. You know, it's just not what they typically do when they interact with an app.
Yeah, that's very true. Like, to be fair, we didn't start this product or this design didn't came from thinking about elderly people or really young people or illiterate people. Mm-hmm. Or like, we were just trying to build a very simple communication experience based on context and on visual things. And we found out later that, you know, people that were not able to use like text messaging or WhatsApp because they kind of are drowned in the menus there, not used to that. They found this very intuitive, while the people that are used to all the menus found like TapTalk sometimes counterintuitive.
Okay.
It's not what they are used to, right? So it's a big personal passion of ours and the team to create really simple things and rethink UI and interfaces and products. To make them extremely elegant. And that is just a personal passion of ours. And it happened like stories came to us that people were using it with their grandparents because they had no problem understanding TapTalk. You know, All they had to explain is just tap your granddaughter and that's it. Like hold your granddaughter down and talk.
Okay.
That's what you have to do, right? So they tap the red circle to see your granddaughter's message. And, you know, it's like, you know, but this is like something that also we discovered. And I think that is like in general with building companies and trying to innovate somewhere, like it is a big discovery process. Like, yes, you have a hunch and maybe you can call it a vision. This doesn't feel like that, to be honest. It feels more like an intuition and a passion. Like, I want to dedicate like a part of my life to this. I don't know yet why. That's how you start. And then you start building things and you discover, you discover everything around it. And if what you are discovering is not what you wanted to do, you probably drop the ball, right? Mm-hmm. But if what you're discovering starts to make more and more sense, you know, then you continue try to make it better. And, you know, I think this is really, really nice way of building these things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, kind of going on that interface, and we kind of alluded to it before, but you guys had kind of a big story come out about, I believe it was Facebook, was ripping off your UI, right?
That was the initial story.
Yeah. Kind of tell us about what happened. And I mean, maybe even tell us what was the full story. I only read, I think, a TechCrunch article on it.
Right. You're like seeing a lot of people that copied our interface.
Okay.
You know, and it, we got like, within the Silicon Valley community, at some point, everybody discovered it because it was something new and exciting, right? It's like, as I said before, like, and that is also, I mean, that is really nice. I mean, people are interested in finding out why we did it like this. That is amazing. And, you know, it's kind of also part of the community here to be very curious in what other people come up with. Which is why I love to be in this area, actually. You know, it's a part of that.
But Facebook has everyone connected, both young and old. When they take your interface, doesn't that endanger you as a company? I mean, if they have your kind of application, they kind of understand your thinking behind it, but they've already got all the connections, doesn't that make it harder for you?
That's kind of what you initially feel, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
In hindsight, I don't think it matters all that much. I think what is, for example, easily overlooked is the values of your company and what your company stands for. Why are people using a certain product? It's not only about the product, right? It's also about like the values you stand for, and this is why you have to use it. And that is like not as easy to build as a product, as an application.
Mm.
And I see this as it is a new way of interacting, and we need to bring that to the people, right? And it's not just shipping an app in the store. It is also a lot of like hard work to see where are the hurdles for people, what are the stories that make them interested and exciting, you know, what needs to happen. Like, for example, if you and me would connect on Tap Talk now, and we just met, I mean, this is not going, probably not going to last, right?
Okay.
Like, we built a product, like, I'm using it every day with my brother, I'm using it every day with my mother, I use it every day with a couple of really good friends that are not here, or my roommates. Like, but I'm not using it with a bunch of people that I don't know that well. But I am using Facebook for that, right? So Facebook, you have all your contacts there, and you can easily find those other people too.
Right.
But so I think creating that space and the association of, okay, Tap Talk is for people, you know, you want to stay in touch with that are not here right now, close friends, family members. Like, that is a whole other game than copying an interface.
So how are you communicating those values to people?
Yeah, that's a very good question. That is not an easy thing to do. Like, for example, and it is very subtle. Like, sometimes I see, like, we are not the only company that works with these values, right? You can find hundreds of other companies that say, we are for close friends and family members, you know. Like, we, for example, we will not work with stock photography, you know, to communicate those values, because that just doesn't work. Like, one of the values we, you know, we really cherish is authenticity. And this is, like, important for, like, the communication that happens between people, but also for the way we present ourselves to the market. Yeah. So, I mean, it is a search on how to do that. And it's a part of building the company, I think, a pretty important part, next to making a great product that aligns with those values and actually brings you this experience. I don't know if that answers your question, but yeah, does it?
Yeah. I mean, I know it's kind of a hard one to answer because it's not super concrete. But I'm just kind of curious because, especially in this space, it seems like people come across a few things that seem similar at first glance, and you have a very short period of time to get those. Like, if you're really relying on those values to be what differentiates you, and you have such a short amount of time to communicate that, that just seems like a really big challenge.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. It is one of the big challenges of a company like this. Like, I know many companies share the same challenge, obviously. You know, what works really well for us is when people that have the experience, right, and they tell their friends about their experience, like a more kind of community-driven way, which is one way to do it. Like, if you hear from your friend that, you know, he talks to his mother every day and he loves it, you know, you might be curious to check it out. You know, what is going on? Why does he have that experience? Other things, like, we also have, like, stories written by, you know, our users. They post that on the internet. That can also be inspiring for people to read and maybe check into it. But certainly it's stronger when you hear it from your own circles. I mean, that's one thing I found.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the one thing that I've experienced from using it is that it's that you can design it into the product by allowing and disallowing some even just features or usability, so that you can't go blast out like Twitter, you know, publicly, and it's not used as a forum to you know, to for your own gain or to gain a following on, but it the only function is to communicate with a small group of people or individually. And I feel like that you kind of baked your core into the product at that point.
Yeah, that's actually a very good point. Like, I've said this before in another interview, but this actually, thinking about, for example, an invite, right? It sounds like an invite. Everybody talks about invites here in the Bay Area. We actually want to design our invite that our most important goal is for it to convert. So when you invite your best friend, and this is not you invite 10 friends and you hope that two people are joining. No, you intentionally invite your best friend because you want to use this product with him. So it's very important that it converts. Like, we don't care that much about sending a lot of invites and hoping that some things will convert. No, we want you to kind of deliberately pick the people that you want to use this or try this product with or use this product with. And we want to help you as a user to succeed in, you know, if you like the product or the idea or you want to try it, like, this one invite has to convert.
Yeah.
And I think, like, this is not the case for every company or product, right? Some products, it doesn't matter that much. Other products you use on your own, like, for example, you want to use Lyft, you know, you don't care if your friend is on Lyft as well. So they can make this incentive that, you know, you both get credits when you are inviting. So you want to send out the invite to as many people as possible, so you get a lot of credits in return. For them, this kind of model makes perfect sense. For us, you know, it doesn't. So I guess when you start a company or a product, and you have to kind of really stick to your core values and think about what is important to happen for people. Like, think about that one user, you know, standing issues. What is important for this person? And go from there instead of just, we need to send out a lot of invites. I mean, to be honest, you also just have to roll. Like, if you, like, this is more a general thing in building a company, you kind of just have to roll, even if you don't understand something that well, and you just roll with it. And then if you stay curious about, did this work out or not, or is this like, you know, does this have the desired effect? If you stay curious and hungry to find that answer, you know, it's always going to help you make better decisions later. This is what I've seen a lot, in our process, where you just like, one of the most important values in our company is learning and understanding. And this has been always like that. Because that's, I think, the way for us to, you know, to become successful in this is by kind of trying to be curious in understanding what is it we do, like, what are the consequences of this feature, and let's find out. And we are really looking for that, like, holistic view.
That's really interesting to kind of look at even a feature like that, and instead of looking at it as like, what are features we can build in? It's like, what is the consequence of adding this feature?
Exactly. Yeah. And sometimes you don't know, right? Like, it's sometimes very hard to predict. And then you can just do it at some point and then learn from it like that. Or you can actually just take a step back and try to think it through. Because usually when we do think it through, it is usually not far off from the truth, from what eventually happens. Just like, and it can be really little features. What is the consequence of this feature in the long term? What's going to happen? What's the, you know, what's the dynamic going to be? And, close the laptops, you know, switch off the phones, go behind the whiteboard and think it through. That's, that's usually, without building anything or spending a lot of cycles, that can already inform you quite a lot. Mm-hmm.
So what's kind of next for TapTalk? What's the next step for you guys?
Yeah, this is always interesting. I mean, obviously, one thing that is very important for us is, as I said, is to get people on board easily and make them understand, you know, what this product is for and how to use it. So we are really working hard on making that easier. Of course, we are also like thinking about like new things that, you know, I can't talk about right now. But we always have these parallel things, like making the product better, you know, constantly based on insights, based on our ideas, and based on what people tell us, and, you know, how to, and interpreting that. And then, you know, parallel to it, just like think about other things. And this is really, you know, an interesting parallel process, and they can both inform each other. I mean, we see that the product as it is can provide great value for people. So, you know, I want to bring that, out there and bring that to the people to get them to that experience. And when they had the experience and they decide, well, it's not for me, then, you know, it's fine. But we have to make sure they get the experience we intend them to have, right? So if you are using it with your mother and or with your brother or father or best buddy, whatever, a person that is important to you, that you care about but is not here, and you find like, hey, we actually are so much more connected now, it feels so nice to get to communicate this way with this person, then you have had the experience we intended, and then you can decide for yourself if you want to use it or not. What I don't want to happen is that you get our product and you use it with people you don't really care about, and that's it. And then you didn't get to the experience we intended, right? So that, you know, that breaks my heart. So, you know, I want to make sure that that we bring the intended experience to the people. And that is the most important thing for the company right now.
So where can we find the app, and where do we keep up with you online?
You can find the app at taptalk.me, taptalk.me. There is actually a Twitter stream there. So I guess you can follow us on Twitter. Let us know if, you know, anything interesting comes up you want to talk about. We are very happy to talk about these things and communication and connection, more also, you know, about also within teams. So it's not only the passion is not only between people and connecting, you know, the world and making people feel more connected, but also this also stretches to, you know, our values in teams. And, you know, when you work together, like, it's just it's all very similar. So yeah, happy to do more with that. And
very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me. And look forward to meeting you in real life.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Rocket Ship Podcast. If you enjoyed it, we have tons of other awesome episodes on our website. Check them out, rocketship.fm.
And be sure to check out our app discount section, where we have discounts on products that we use every day, like Woo Themes, Wistia, Treehouse. Go to rocketship.fm/essentials and get your discounts today.